Hello, Penny Droppers. I'm pretty excited because I get to tell you one of my favourite stories. If you're a long-time listener, you will have heard this before, but I think it's important to tell it again, particularly when we're thinking about what our role is as hosts. Because as hosts, we are preparing to disrupt. More specifically, we're preparing to disrupt boring people or bored people. But the thing is, no one is boring, I promise. However, what I have learned is that many have forgotten what makes them interesting. And as hosts, it's our job to remind them. And I still remember the day that I learned this was my job. It was my ultimate penny dropping moment, if you like. And it happened to me on a cold Tasmanian morning in a tiny little town called Chudley. I was an ABC radio presenter at the time, and my producer, Andrea, and I arrived in the town really early in the morning, I don't know, at about 8:30. We were there to record some stories to play during an outside broadcast that we were doing from a town just down the road later that day. And I've got to say, these were my favourite days at the ABC because our process was to arrive in a town, perhaps visit the butcher or the post office to collect some local intel, because I tell you what, they know stuff. It is like the epicenter of intel. And so then we would take that information and we would simply go and knock on doors to see what interesting yarns that we could uncover. It was a seriously cool job. And on that particular morning, I knocked on one door that we'd been sent to, and it opened to a smiling yet slightly wary face of a woman called Enid. She was a local in, I'd say, her late 70s. And I did my usual, "Hello, I'm Penny from the ABC. We're broadcasting from just down the road today. I'm wondering if I could interview you about your life in Chudley." And quick as a flash, Enid looked at me and said, "Why would you want to interview me? I've got nothing interesting to say." Now, I heard this line all the time, from all types of people in all places. And because of that, I kind of just dismissed it and I said, "Well, look, why don't we see about that? Let's go down to the kitchen and have a cup of tea and find out." And then for the next 30 minutes or so, me and my producer literally had our jaws on the floor as Enid recalled story after story about her life growing up in Chudley. If we needed any evidence of just how incredibly interesting her stories were, when I listened back to the audio, every time Enid paused, we were so silent waiting for her next word that you could hear the fridge buzzing in the background. It was incredible. And then after the interview, I'll never forget wandering back down the hallway, and I was waffling on about what time she needed to listen, could she tell her friends to tune in, I'd send her the interview on a CD in the mail, it was a while ago now. And then I turned around to thank her, and I'll never forget her looking at me and saying, "I am pretty interesting, aren't I?" "Yes, Enid. Yes, you are." And it was at this moment that I realised it had been my job to remind her. And so, yeah, this is Enid's story, but I've heard it from hundreds, if not thousands of people that I've interviewed on the radio, in podcasts, on stage, or simply chatted with, because it can be really hard to understand what others find interesting about us. Because what is interesting about us is also just our everyday. So either it feels boring or we've become bored with it. Now, this has got a bit to do with something, it's a cognitive bias called the curse of knowledge, which sounds like something that would happen in a Harry Potter book, but it's actually happening in our heads. And it's where it's impossible for us to remember what it was like to not know what we know now. And just like Enid, I think most people and even organisations, they need some outside help to get beyond the curse of knowledge and be able to see and then share what is interesting and valuable about who they are, what they do, and why it matters. And as hosts, we're the outside help. So when we're preparing for any show, interview, event, or meeting, it is our job, I think, to create the space, the pace, and the resonance that allows the interesting to come out. So let's go into those three things a bit more deeply. So the space, that is the physical or virtual environment where your thing is going to take place. It's about creating a setting that feels welcoming and conducive to a great conversation. Whether it's online, it's face-to-face, we need to make sure your space has good acoustics, reliable technology that you know how to use so that people can hear and be heard. And it's also about the vibe we create. And yes, we want a comfortable one, but we also want one that sets the tone for your show and event. So this might be about music, lighting, furniture, props, things that you've got in your Zoom background. Your goal is to make the space somewhere that isn't intimidating and overly fancy. And I tell you what, radio studios, any type of production studio can be pretty intimidating. What we want is a space where guests and audience members feel like they belong, and they belong there with you, with us as the hosts. So that's the space. The next one, the pace. So this is about setting the rhythm and flow of the interaction that you're going to have. And we set the pace with our words, with our body language, and the processes that we use. And so, yes, I will go further into interviewing strategies later in the series, but this is about creating introductions and questions that are going to match the room's energy and the audience's expectation. It's about providing enough context to make people tune in and not out. It's about digging deeper than bios and Wikipedia pages and, in a throwback to last week's episodes, going out to the back paddock to find angles that are unique and align with what our audience cares about, but we'll also get those authentic responses from guests rather than the ones that are overly prepared or the ones that make them scared. And we need to have processes built in that are flexible but also invisible. So they help us to manage things like time and technology, but other people can't see them. Because when people feel like they're being rushed or things are being dragged out, they'll notice. And it's not the pace you want to set. So that's the pace. And finally, the resonance. I love this word. And the definition I like is the alignment or synchronizing of vibrations between neighboring objects. So in hosting, it means matching the energy of your guest and or your audience. So meet them where they're at, and then you can take them with you wherever you need them to go. And the vibrations start trying to sync up during that very first interaction that we have with them, way before the main event. So that could be the initial reach out email to securing spots or tickets. We need to make the people who are part of this, so the guests and the audiences, feel valuable and feel comfortable. We need to be able to explain our processes clearly, be open to their questions, ask for their questions, and also to avoid being overly formal. Sometimes when we set up templates for this stuff, we start not sounding like us, but we need to be our authentic selves in order for those vibrations to start syncing up early. And so this step, the building of the resonance, is what helps us get our guests and our audience to a place where they are open to sharing and to learning. It's awesome. So the space, the pace, the resonance. This is what I now call the Enid process. And as hosts, it's our job to guide people through it. And it is a seriously cool job. It is also the last of the jobs that we need to do before a show, interview, or event. So coupled with the calibration from a couple of episodes ago, the navigation from last episode, and this, the preparation, you've now got 9 things to set you up for success. So next episode, we're going to move on to those things that we can do during that thing that we are hosting to make sure that we can be a better host. Now, I'm going to give a shout out to a few people who have been sharing the Penny Drop, and I know they have because they've tagged me in their post on LinkedIn. So thank you. I see you, and oh my goodness, I appreciate you. If you know somebody who wants to be a better host, please forward this on, or maybe you want to give it a review on your podcast app. If you know someone who wants to be a better guest, send this through and they can scroll back in the feed. I just love watching how this community is growing, and you are a really big part of making that happen. So thank you very much. I will look forward to chatting with you again next time.